high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside Derby!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Toffee Blues podcast. Today, I'm joined by Terry and Owen. And in this episode, you can expect the extra time from the Everton's loss to Leeds United. We've also got the preview for this week's game, and we've also, of course, got the end of the quiz show, which is going to be me taking on Owen in this one. I'm going to be trying to pull back my me reputation as an Evertonian after going out so embarrassingly to Terry last week. Hope you all enjoy it. Let's get into it.
My name is Thomas, back with another extra time on the channel today. I feel like me and James seem to just switch between he gets the wins and I get the losses, sadly. But today I am joined by Terry, Owen and Stephen joining us once again. We're going to try and dissect our loss against Leeds. To be honest, I wasn't too surprised at the result. We knew what they were going to come with. We knew they were going to come with a lot of energy. Yeah, we could have played a lot better. However, here we are now after a 1-0 loss at home. Stephen, I'll come to you first. What were your general thoughts about the game?
We could have gone either way, really. I think we had a lot of chances. They had a lot of chances. I was speaking to the Leeds lads yesterday, and they thought they fully deserved to win, which you can't really argue with. I think we just had a couple of chances and didn't take them, and that's what you've got to do if you want to win Premier League games, and we just didn't do it. So, pretty disappointed, to be honest. Me and Terry were previewing it, talking about how uneasy we felt about it, and we got exactly what a good Leeds team coming to us just sort of dominated us for most of it, I think.
Yeah, coming to Goodison Park, obviously Rafinha looked for his first Premier League goal. I thought he played brilliantly all day, but of course we knew what we were expecting with Leeds, very high energy side who, I mean, we've always struggled with. We struggle against Ralph Hasenhüttl, Southampton, obviously very high pressing, aggressive side. Leeds, very much similar, shots everywhere. It's a very open game. Terry, what did you make of it?
As expected, as Stephen said, it's what I thought would happen before the game. Is they play that sort of frenetic, high energy, you know, pick up the loose balls, pick up the misplaced passes football, and we were going to struggle. Now, on the strength of the whole game, obviously Leeds were the better team, but it was fine margins, I think, at the end of the day. I think Everton, when, you know, in the first half, we were overran a lot in midfield. Like, you know, the back three were very exposed because we only had the two in the middle, and I don't think they could live with the energy of Leeds' midfield. But I'm just... What can you say? That Rafinha ran us ragged in the first half. But in the second half, I think we came into the game a little bit more. I don't think we were as you know, out of it as some of the commentary was suggesting, like, you know, Jamie Carragher, Martin Tyler acting like, you know, we were clinging on for dear life. We had the ball in the net a few times, you know, I think very harshly done by with that unreal James Rodriguez goal. But I say this all the time, like at nearly every defeat this season, I've said the same phrases. We don't know anything now that we didn't know already. We've got 10 passable players. We've got 10 players in this squad and the rest is just crap. Like, that bench was like a Masters football team for the start. There's things you could say, you know, why didn't he play, you know, why didn't Ancelotti play Niels Nkunku left back? I think that may have, you know, made a little bit of a difference because I think we were, you know, limited in our width because Iwobi kept having to come inside naturally because he's right-footed. He didn't take it in his instep. He always came inside the pitch. But that selection, that 11, spoke to the lack of depth we've got. If when both of your fullbacks are injured and your two replacement fullbacks aren't even on... Was Kenny on the bench? I don't even think he was he?
Both
second-choice fullbacks weren't even on the bench. That speaks to a lack of quality in that position. And we're then, you know, as we've done with the other defeats, we're putting square pegs in round holes. We can't accommodate losing even one or two players of the first team. And even then, the first team's only 10 players because that third midfield position's up for grabs for anyone. But when you've got Delph, you've got Sigurdsson, you've got Gomez, you've got, you know, players like that who are just frankly not good enough to come in, then what are you going to do? You know, the manager, I don't think, is beyond reproach. Of course he isn't, but he's not a miracle worker. He's, you know, if the players aren't good enough, that once it got outside of the, you know, the very top surface level of player, if underneath that's just terrible, then what's he meant to do? I just don't think we can't accommodate losing any players at all. And I know every team's going to get injuries, but it's showing in our results. You look at the games we've lost. Luca Dean's missed some. Richarlison's missed some. Coleman's missed some. Doesn't take many. You can't. We can maybe lose one player out of your first team and get by. But and even then, it depends on the player. But certainly the big four players, that Luca Dean, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin and James Rodriguez, any of those four get an injury, and one of them has now for a couple of months, 3 months, then there's a massive drop off and it affects the rest of the team. They can't accommodate it. They can't get by without those key players in the team because there's no depth whatsoever.
Yeah, and obviously it's disappointing to lose again, but of course against a side like Leeds, very high pressure, live halfway up the pitch, you're always going to get chances. And Owen, was it you? I think I saw tweeting about how we had chances to win it. There were a lot of people talking about how it was kind of just a one-sided game, but it absolutely wasn't that. We had the ball in the net. You know, we had other chances. What did you make of the game?
For me, it's a game that I feel like we've had a bad run, but I wouldn't take that game and think Everton played badly or that somehow the tactics were wrong. That's a load of nonsense to me because I feel like we did get caught in key areas, but that was due to the personnel in them areas. I thought the shape of the team was good and I thought we created chances. My big issue with that game was I felt like we were playing a team that wasn't really there. We were playing the aura around Leeds and what the media want you to think they are, rather than what actually was there was a team that's just come up from the Championship. To be fair, they played really well, but I can't help but think that we let them play really well. We just let them pass the ball. We let them go. We just let them get chances after chance after chance. We sat a bit too deep. We didn't press them very well. It just to me was, even though I felt like Ancelotti, apart from the wing back areas, I don't think you could complain about anything else we did. I just felt that we got chances. It was, everything was rushed. Our passing was terrible. And I think those first 10 minutes, I don't think we found a blue shirt. It was that bad. We grew into the game. We got chances, a couple disallowed, no complaints. Why Ben Godfrey's moving his head towards the ball, no idea. But I still think it would have been disallowed, obviously, from what we've seen in the past. Calvin Phillips run the show. I feel like Alan played well for us, but I feel like with just Alan and the core, a high energy Leeds team can easily cope with that. I feel like we needed another body. And then Hammers, I've said him many times, he's a luxury player. And I think if you're going to put him within the framework of the team, everything else gets undermined because he's someone who you find moments for you rather than someone who obviously sticks to a position. You see him on the left, on the right, through the middle. He's got a free role, essentially. That's why I think Carlo played him behind Calvert-Lewin and Dom, but we got overrun at times there. I think it's just a worrying sign at the moment that we just can't keep a clean sheet to save our lives. And for me now, I feel we've really got to stick to a system that helps us keep clean sheets and helps us just do everything right at the same time, because I don't feel like, I think we're inconsistent between games and I think we're inconsistent in games too. I thought there was times where we looked a half decent team against Leeds and we had chances. There was other times where we were just so passive and made it so easy for them. I don't know where we go from here. We've got Burnley next week, who are, in a way, the antithesis of Leeds, who do the complete opposite. But if they score the first goal in that game, you might as well blow up and just go back into the changing room, because we're not going to break them down if they score the first goal, in my opinion. If we get the first goal, I feel like we'll win comfortably. But on Saturday, I didn't think it was a terrible performance, but I'm really disappointed with how we approached Leeds to beat Man City or Liverpool when they played well, but they're just Leeds.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Alan there as well. I agreed. I think he had a very good game. We kind of got a glimpse of that maroon run he had forwards. But, Stephen, would you agree that players like him and Decore are crying out for a kind of a player to sit in the base? Because Alan, he obviously wasn't signed as the number six, but obviously Gbamon's injury was extended longer. He's probably going to become that player if he gets back to fitness. to sit in that kind of deeper role. First of all, were you impressed with Alan Stephen? Then second of all, are him and Alan, him and Decorey absolutely crying out for that defensive midfielder like Phillips played for Leeds, who's going to allow the rest of the midfielders, you know, their license to roam, which Alan and Decorey clearly desperately want to.
Yeah, I think that's it really. You can see that there's a really good player in Alan. He showed it the other night, how good he was. He was my man of the match along with Pickford. I think a lot of people will say he was man of the match as well, sitting on, you know, for Everton. I think, yeah, for him and Decorey, they are crying out for a good set of players around them. That's dragging them down at the moment. And obviously, you know, when there's bad performances, you can't just put it down to that. But I do certainly think they are being, you know, pulled down by the rest of the team at the minute.
Yeah, and then Terry, do you agree with that? Do we kind of need Gbamin back? That might improve the clean sheets. We don't know. Obviously, having that extra defensive presence, which Alan, as much as he's a brilliant tackler of the ball, he does love to kind of roam from his position sometimes. Do you agree that Gbamin needs to come back hopefully soon?
Yeah, I've said that for weeks, to be honest. That when we were playing 4-3-3, that the third midfield position, if this is going to work, especially as Owen said, with a luxury player like James, you need to have a very, you know, very high work rate midfield, centre midfield three. It's what Liverpool do, it's what Man City do. You need to have the midfielders cover all the your pitch. We did it with two at the time, but it was Barry and McCarthy. And then latterly, you know, Jesse Gay came into it and what have you. But you look at the options we've got now, it speaks to what I said before about the lack of depth in the squad. If we're waiting on Gbamin to come back, then that shows that our options outside of him are just terrible. You've got the two midfielders who, you know, picked themselves and have done well this season. And then who've you got after that? Delph is crap. Davies done all right the last two games, but big picture-wise, he's not good enough. Sigurdsson, forget it. Gomez, not even, I don't know what, you know, has he got a twin? Because he's not the player we signed on loan who bossed Liverpool's midfield in that Pickford derby, because he was absolutely unreal at times, but he's just fell off the face of the earth now. I understand why they've gone to three at the back, because that's how much we lack depth in, I know I'm repeating myself, but we lack depth that much that at one or two injuries, we completely change the system of the team to try and accommodate it, because there's no like-for-like replacements that if they feel are good enough. But if Gbamin can come back in and we end up with Alan, Decorey and Gbamin, it might help all different parts of the pitch. It might help the fullbacks because they can afford to go forward more, and we might be able to play some of the, you know, Nkunku, for example, because he's got a little bit more cover if he gets caught up the pitch. It'll help, well, ideally, it'll help the centre-backs, because we've got on paper good centre-backs, but they're shipping goals. So now you look at, well, there's five of them if you include Brandtwaite. If you look at the centre-backs, you could pick any combination of them, and I don't think you could, you know, rule out any of them. You know, at one point you could have said, well, Keane's nailed on, but I think he's dropped off a little bit. I don't know what the solution is. Maybe it's go back to back four because the back three didn't work. I've got to be honest, I thought that back three would be better. I mean, it's only one game, but I thought it would do better than it did. You know, it defended resolutely and got away with it a few times. You know, clearances off the line, but I thought Godfrey and Holgate would be better on the ball, but Holgate was terrible on the ball. Like, he gave it away a couple of times. And I don't know whether it's just a case of going back to basics, you know, pure, you know, Burnley style, and just having a back four and just settling on it. Maybe, you know, put Holgate, I mean, prefer Holgate at right back to Godfrey, but put one of them right back until Coleman's back, and then put in Kunku there. But even if you play one like Delph until Gbamin's back, or someone like, just someone who will give that little bit of extra shield. It might not look pretty in when you see the lineup come out, but it'll run smoother as a team, because at the minute we're not satisfying anything. The defence has got five defenders in it, but it's not, you know, it's still conceding goals, and the midfield is better than it was, but it's still missing that, you know, it's still getting overrun in certain games against certain types of opposition. So it's just about basically coming through this bad spell. We've had a good spell at the start, and now we've hit a bad spell, and it's just about finding solutions to it. And frankly, I think we will. I'm not getting bent out of shape over it. It's a good good spell, then a bad spell, and now we're going to go into December, and there's all, you know, there's just games coming quickly now where you can turn things around, and we've got a good manager. I don't care what anyone says, we've got a good manager, and I think he'll see us through.
The one thing I picked up on there is the three at the back thing. At the moment, the three at the back formation is well and truly in the mud. Sheffield United are bottom of the league playing and aren't doing very well. Wolves have changed it. I can't think of anyone else in the Premier League who regularly plays it anymore. It's a formation that just invites teams onto you without trace. I don't like it, especially with wing backs of Davis and Iwobi. I don't like it. Play a left foot a left back and a right foot a right back, and I'll be fine. Even if it's Delph there, I could live with that because he's left foot, and it wouldn't look the best, but it'll do a job. He's played there and won the league with Man City through playing on left back. Right back, if it's right wing back, play Iwobi. If it's right back, throw Holgate or Godfrey over there. It's a simple solution that we've got to find quickly to get this defence sorted, because it's ridiculous how bad our defence is at the moment. Just, I think it was four on here, we could just play in a front four for any team and we would score, we'll get chances, because it's just so ridiculous the errors we're making at the moment. And surprisingly, it was Pickford the one who was bailing us out on Saturday, because the rest of them were having a mare, especially Michael Keane. If we're going to play back three, don't play Michael Keane in a back three. He's used to playing in back fours, they're flat, whatever. But just find a four at the back formation and stick to it and just grind results out, because we've got a tough month coming up, including Burnley and Sheffield United, who are fine for points. Got other games in there against top six teams, or Arsenal, who's supposed to be a top six team. They might just stay up, as Roy Keane said, but apart from that, it's going to be a tough month, so we need to find a solution quickly.
Yeah, it's definitely been a tricky spell, but I don't want to dwell on the negatives too much, because I think there's definitely two significant Man of the Match contenders. And I'll come to you first, Stephen. Who would you claim was your Man of the Match for us anyway? We'll forget about Rafinha on the other side. Just put that on the
No, it's got to be Pickford, hasn't it, really? And that's the biggest surprise of them all. I think Everton playing, Everton losing wasn't even the biggest surprise anymore, which is bad. No, Pickford made a couple of really good saves. He made the one from Rafinha, like a looping header. The one from Bamford as well, if I've probably got a couple more I'm forgetting about. But I've got to say Pickford. But just going back to what Terry said there, I completely agree with Terry. Talking about the three, we don't have the personnel to play, you know, three centre backs and two wing backs at the moment. I think going back to basics and going with a four, playing Delph in his natural position, it like we said before, Tom, it may give Alan and Zakore a bit more freedom if we were to just go for that, you know, flat four. I was, Mason Holgate's not been fantastic either after coming back from injury. I fully expected him to be first choice, and now he's coming back, he's not really showing it. I think once he's back to full fitness, obviously it will get better once we get our players back, but the fact that one player gets injured and the whole thing goes down the drain is just a bit disheartening, really. And it shows on Saturday. If you're going to play a team like that, you're not going to win. And, you know, playing, like Owen said, a right-footed Alex Iwobi at left-back, it's just a bit confusing, to be honest.
Yeah.
People might be surprised by this due to the profile of the defenders, but statistically, our best two centre-backs in a partnership is Michael Keane and Yerry Mina. I wouldn't think that, but when we were playing them both, we were defending a bit deeper, and we were doing the basics a bit better. It fell away a little bit, but I still feel that I would have probably them two centre-back and one Godfrey and Holgate right-back at the moment. That's what I would.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I think they were the two centre-backs when we had that great run at the start of the season. But, you know, Ben Godfrey hasn't really impressed me at right-back. He was okay at centre-back, but I think Mason Holgate is going at right-back now. Yeah. I think he's probably the best option there. I wouldn't throw Godfrey straight in there, but I think maybe in a different sort of, you know, maybe a different sort of role at right back, staying back a bit more and trying to play it out where he can. But it would mean that we wouldn't have to have that, you know, a Wobi playing at right wing, trying to cover for Godfrey all the time, or trying to cover for Davis or whoever's there. I think Mason Holgate at the moment is the best shout at right back.
I
don't really know what John Joe Kenny's doing these days, but I agree with Holgate going to right back.
Clean his car on Instagram.
Yeah, but we'll probably wrap it up there.
Joined by Terry and Owen, and today we're previewing Everton's Premier League match against Burnley at the weekend. Owen, I'll come to you first because you seem to know a bit more about Burnley than me and Terry. First of all, I just want to know, how do you think we can break them down? Because they're obviously a tough side to play against at times. What do you think is going to be the key for us to getting a win?
It's always difficult match against Burnley. The 18th, 19th in the league, but I guarantee you, when we look towards the end of the season and we see the bottom three, they will not be in the bottom three. Mm-hmm. I'm that confident that come the end of the season. But it's every year, they had a bit of a tough patch towards the middle last season. They finished 10th. Season before that, they had the Europa League, so it was a balancing act for them then, but they still managed to finish 14th, 15th. Season before that, they finished 7th. First season, he stayed up. So you know what you're going to get. It's going to be 4-4-2. They're going to get balls into our box. They're going to use set pieces. If Brownhill and Westwood fit, they can move the ball quite nicely through midfield now as well, more so than when Jack Cork played there. He was more of a sort of tough tackling midfielder for them than someone like Josh Brownhill, who's come in and is more impressive with the ball, I would say. But it's going to be a difficult game. For me, this is a game that Everton win 3-0 because we get the early goal and we get some momentum and they find it difficult to come back, or they score first. And if they score the first goal in this game, especially as the game goes on, we might as well just walk down the tunnel, because we're not going to be able to do it, because I don't think at the moment there's the character in this team to come from behind on a 12:45 kickoff on the first Saturday in December in the freezing cold at Turf Moor. When we judge this team, this is how we'll judge them. That these games at Turf Moor, we've played at Palace, but these type of Newcastle the other week wasn't really the most ideal game for us. Didn't turn up. Okay, we didn't help ourselves with the team selection, but it's going to be a similar thing this weekend, where I think we're going to need to match them for work rate, or I do worry it's going to be a game which will fall perfectly into Burnley's hand, because, okay, they got whacked 5-0 against Man City. They could be top of the game, and they lost 2 games in 14 games at the end of last season. One of them was a 5-0 loss against Man City, so you can't really read too much into that. They beat Palace 1-0 the week before, 0-0 against Brighton, 0-0 against West Brom. So before that, they have been showing signs of getting points and clean sheets, which is no surprise when Ben Mee's back in the team, because he's the one who holds it all together at the back. I think obviously the Toffee Blues got Joe Redman from Turfcast, and he's basically said, oh, what I've been saying about how the first goal in this game is pretty important. For us, I think if we score early on, I think it'll be a comfortable afternoon for us. It won't be comfortable, but I think it'll be a game we can manage. But I think if they score the first goal, it will be difficult, as it always is against Burnley.
Yeah, you've said that a couple of times recently, Owen, about if Burnley get the first goal in this game, there's not much point in Everton playing on, because I think if we're 1-0 down, we could play till Christmas and I don't think we'd score against them. I just don't think, and it's been the typical thing with Everton. It's away in these games, these tough games. If something goes against us, we just seem to sort of fall apart. You know what I mean? So, but no, I think that point about the first goal, and obviously they've got a very solid team. They'll be looking at us.
it was the same when we played Newcastle the other week. As soon as they got that penalty and scored,
mm-hmm.
I thought we may as well walk down the tunnel because they're just going to throw a fleet of buses in front of their goal and see it out, which we did. Whereas when we played Fulham, they made a 1-1, didn't he? I had confidence we would still win that because they would still push men forwards at 1-1 or 2-1. So it was a bit of a different deal playing these because these are a team that are going to look to start off from a clean sheet basis, almost play for a 0-0. And if they find a moment, they'll find a moment. But it's going to be tough, no doubt.
Terry, I'll come to you asking you just what how do you feel about the game? Because I know we felt the same about the Leeds game at home, which is on paper quite a different proposition to this. I just sort of want you. What's your first impression of this game? How do you think we'll do?
I'm worried again. Like, I was worried about Leeds because of their energy and their pace, and I thought our midfield would get overrun and they couldn't live with them, and that's, you know, I was proved right in that regard. This game, it's not so much the midfield to worry about as our defence. Mm-hmm. We, like, look at the type of chances we create, you know, with, like, sloppy pass and giving it away, you know, and the pressure's back on us, and, you know, Yerry Mina with his back heels and their salad in the derby. We do anything like that against Burnley, they'll be right on it, and they will be throwing crosses into the box, so we need to be on our games offensively. Obviously, you know, goes without saying, Owen's right, you know, first goal's massive. If they get the goal first, then we're in for a rough afternoon. If we get one, then we could, you know, could hopefully kick on from there, you know, our defence notwithstanding, because we'll find more space to get more goals in if they start coming out and having to score. This is the type of game where we might have to change up our attack and play. I mean, we might have had to anyway because we haven't got Luka Dean, but the crosses into the box for Calvert-Lewin, he might struggle in this game because they will, you know, they love all that. They will have that as food and drink all game. People just whipping in crosses from flanks to a centre-forward, and as good as Dom is in the air, Burnley centre-backs, me and Tarkowski, are good as well. So it could be a game where you get the likes of, you know, James Rodriguez. He's had a little bit of a dip in form, and then, you know, can he do it on a December afternoon? In the British conditions, but a creative player like that might be the key to unlocking Burnley, because the physical sort of, you know, pace and power aspect of playing is just what Burnley, you know, are used to and set up to deal with, whereas you can't always accommodate for a little bit of magic from a magic player.
Mm-hmm. Just to touch on what Terry said there, Owen, about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, do you see him getting any joy in this game?
Again, maybe. I mean, mm-hmm. if I'm going to think of an opponent I wouldn't like Dom to play against, it would be James Tarkowski and Ben Mee, because they're very aware defensively, so they'll know where to position themselves to win aerial duels. If we were playing the team like Fulham the other week, you just don't know what foot defending is if it hit them in the face, then he's all for that. I thought Leeds as well, the amount of sort of space they give up in the defensive third, I thought it might have suited them then. Turns out we just bottled it completely against Leeds in terms of our attack and play and just misplaced any pass. I think if Dom's good enough to score against Burnley, I know we're talking about the strengths of Burnley, but they are a team who have struggled so far this season. They didn't spend much money in the summer, so I think it's just a testament to what they've done over a number of years, why we're worried about this kind of fixture rather than anything they've done so far this season. But like Adab said, they have had three clean sheets in the last five games, so that would kind of point towards them becoming more difficult to break down. I think Dom, I think he's more than good enough to create chances, but I think it's going to be, if Burnley give James Rodriguez the kind of space to give Riyad Mahrez last week, I mean, we could be in for some afternoon because he had the freedom of the S, he had Mahrez, but I think James is going to, and Richarlison are going to have big games for us to, because the Burnley won't be able to mark all three out the game. So if they all have a great game, we should by then logic win the game as long as our defence doesn't sort of self-combust. Burnley haven't scored many goals this season, but they have had chance. They've just been sloppy, I think. I am looking forward to see how our attack and play sort of develops in this game as it goes along, especially if we get an early goal, which then should be, by logic, more space for the likes of Dom to work in.
Yeah, I think it is going to fall to our major attacking players to be big characters in this game, because as you mentioned, an early kickoff first week of December, it's not something you'd really associate Everton with, you know, taking by the scruff of the neck and you know, dominating for 90 minutes. I think it is going to fall to people like James and like Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin. They're going to need to have good games. If they don't, I think Burnley can see themselves getting something from it. They'll look at our results against Leeds last week.
Set pieces is what your target.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you've mentioned that, Owen, because and we're going to touch on it a bit later as well. Our defence as well, it seems to be a bit... It seems like they've sort of walked out with no game plan and they've just sort of winging it, like the phrase I'd use. Whether it's Holgate or Godfrey or Mina, who's at fault? There always seems to be someone at fault in them situations, like set pieces and stuff like that. And, you know, Sean Dyche isn't an idiot. He'll look at it and he knows where to pick holes in Everton, but neither's Carlo Ancelotti. But I'm just interested to touch on it as well. The wing-back situation, how do you think, and I want to ask both of you this, I want to get two opinions. The wing-back situation, how can you see it going? Who can you see starting at left wing-back and right wing-back if we favour that formation again?
Yeah, no way would I be playing a three at the back against Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't invite the pressure on with three centre-backs for where their two strikers can pin us back. I'd go 4-3-3 again. I would probably play Holgate right-back. I'd probably stick with Keane and Mina centre-back. I'd play Nkunku left-back and I'd probably go for, in the middle field, Alan Doucouré, and maybe we'll play Iwobi because I want to see him there, basically. Mm. I think it's another source of body for Burnley to worry about in the final third, and then the front three picks itself. But I wouldn't go to a three at the back in this game, because I think especially if Holgate plays right back, their biggest creative output is McNeil, and he's going to play on the left because he doesn't play anywhere else, really. So if Holgate can be sort of that defensive prowess against McNeil, sort of, he hasn't had a great season, but sort of mark him out the game, that by then should pave the way for us to become more comfortable defensively and also be able to bring the game onto them more if we've got that sort of threat nullified. So Holgate and Nkunku in the back four is the long-winded answer to that.
Yeah. Teddy, what about you? How can you see us lining up?
I hope we do exactly what Owen said there. You know, that would make most sense to me. If, you know, devil's advocate, if he does play the three at the back again, I could definitely see Yerry Mina coming in for one of the, you know, smaller centre-backs, be it Holgate or Godfrey. Just because, you know, no rocket science, is it? It'll just be for the aerial presence that he offers, and, you know, the fact that we're going to expect a lot of balls into the box, you know, crosses into the box from Burnley. I don't think if he does play three at the back that he'll play Iwobi left wing back again. Didn't work, did it? Like, you know, Iwobi's, you know, had a good game against Fulham. If Coleman isn't fit, which we're assuming he's not, and we're playing wing backs, then I could see it will be going back to right wing back, and Nkunku maybe coming in, or, I mean, I hope not, but possibly even Delph left wing back, because at least, you know, Delph has got no pace, but at least he is left footed, so it's more of a natural fit. But I know Nkunku's inexperienced, but we saw enough Carabao Cup to see that he has got ability on the ball, and, you know, he good attack and threat, and, you know, Luca Dean's going to be out for a long time. This isn't like a get by for two games and he'll be back type thing. He's going to be out for months. So yeah, we need to settle on a system and certainly a replacement. So, you know, even if it's a flat back four and Delphus to make sure left back like he did for City, we need to decide what we're going to do and just stick with it, because changing it is not going to, every match is not going to work for that long.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned there Nkunku looks good on the ball. I think that's going to be the thing. If we can, in the opening half an hour, if we can keep hold of the ball, if we can have chances, if we can stop Burnley hitting us, you know, when we're in a bad position, if we can not give the ball away. And I think, oh, and that's the best case scenario, what you've mentioned there with the team, Holgate at right back. I think we need someone like him who's solid enough defensively to make sure that Dwight McNeil doesn't get any space. But as he is a good player on the ball as well. We need to be good on the ball in this game, I think. If we're going to get any joy, we need to assert ourselves in the first half an hour and say, you can come at us, but you'll have to get the ball off us first.
Yeah, and another reason why I was playing Nkunku is because I think Nkunku played last time against Newcastle, and I think, was he up against St. Maximin?
I think he was. I think he had a tough day. I think he. I'm not sure he made an appearance against Southampton either, but he had a tough game in the against Newcastle, against St. Maximin.
Yeah, so if it was St. Maximin or Almer or whoever he was playing, they're going to be a lot more. They were a lot more dynamic than what is going to play off the right for Burnley, because they normally play a makeshift midfield, a right back, right wing, or they play either Robbie Brady or Goodmanson, depending on who's fit. Because I mean, neither of them are ever fit, so it's either going to be Josh Brownhill or Goodmanson, I would imagine, and neither of them are dynamic enough to sort of worry Nkunku too much. So I would play him, and I would just play him in their half, because if we pen them back, they're not going to get out, and he's got the pace to recover anyway. So I don't see any reason why Nkunku wouldn't play in this one.
Mm-hmm. Owen, which players for Burnley do you think are going to be the main threat for Everton?
I've said McNeil if he has a good game creatively. I think Chris Wood. I think for our defensive frailty so far this season, the last thing we need is Chris Wood, who's winning out, who's going for every second ball, who's chasing lost courses, goes aerially, good finish. I think the last three seasons he's got 15 Premier League goals. He knows where the net is. I think he's scored three times this season, which nothing much, but he's still a threat. I would say if they're going to score, it's going to be Chris Wood. But again, I would say it's the defence, which is the biggest issue for us here, because if they have a resolute defensive performance, not too dissimilar to that a few years ago when they had 20% possession and beat Liverpool 2-0 with two shots. If they have something like that, then that'll be the reason why, it's because the defence, and they quite like defending, which is the honest truth. So
yeah,
I would say overall the defence is what's going to cause us the most issue for winning the game. But if they're going to score, I think it'll be through Chris Wood.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough game, especially given the current circumstances. I agree with you, Teddy, there. I'm a bit worried about it. I don't feel completely confident we can go there. And I think it's going to be 50-50, really. It depends what Everton team's going to show up. We'll go back to you again, Owen. You just mentioned about that Manchester City game. Do you think it'll affect Burnley mentally?
No.
No.
Not at all. I think they go there every year. When they went there last year and got beat 5-0, I don't think they lost again for the rest of the season. So it's that won't affect them. I think if they'd been beat 5-0 by, I don't know, even Man United, I think it might do, because it's something different. But I think they're used that much to getting a paced enough City that I think it'll just go one ear and out the other, to be honest. I think they didn't play well. They had injuries. Nick Pope didn't play. Brownhill didn't play. We might have done. They've got a few injuries in that sense, but I think if they come back, I think they have a one game at a time mentality, which they keep trying to say, but I don't think that's going to affect them too much, because I think it was a game they probably gave away anyway, focusing on this one. They're probably going to give this one their all, because they probably see this as a big opportunity at home to get 3 points.
Yeah. Teddy, do you think our result last week against Leeds, do you think that'll affect our players mentally?
No more than the other defeats, you know what? Yeah, I think we were, we were in the game, as you know, despite what Jamie Carragher tell you, we were in the game against Leeds. Obviously, we deserved to lose. We were second best, but it wasn't this rout that, you know, Carragher was suggesting. And you know, but for a great shot, it was it would have been a clean sheet. So I'm not saying they'll come away, you know, bouncing with confidence from that, but I don't think you can walk away from that type of defeat. Or fine margins could have went either way. You know, you scored twice, but they were ruled out by offside. Type of defeat. I don't think that would, you know, should affect any team's confidence. So now I think they'll hopefully be going into this game looking to, you know, put things back right. And if they want a Fulham and try to say, you know, well, we're back to winning ways now. So hopefully, you know, they'll be looking to come into this game and say, right, well, Leeds was the blip. You know, we are back to winning ways. And what better ways, you know, we get a good result away at Burnley.
Mm-hmm. And just to touch on the midfield as well, Alan was really good last week, wasn't he? He was a lot of people's man of the match. Doucouré didn't have the greatest game, but there's been people on Twitter this week talking about, obviously not in this game, but that we could use Gbamon back in there. What'll be probably his full debut at some point. But do you think, Owen, do you think we need that? Do you think we need another good body in midfield, or do you think Alan and Doucouré as the midfield two is the way to go right now?
No, I would go for three more combative midfielders. Doucouré is no more of someone who likes to get into the other box. And I think if you have Gbamon and Alan sort of marshalling in front of our back four, breaking up play, and Alan obviously going a bit further up and doing so as well, and Gbamon's in, I think he'll just free up Doucouré to be a creative influence in the team. So I would go for Gbamon and Alan and sort of Doucouré in a bit more of a free role, not as a number 10 because he didn't play too well there under Nigel Pearson or Watford. But if he used to get a bit more creative freedom to go into the opposition's box a bit more, I don't see anything but positives for him doing that. He's good at winning the ball back in the final third too as well. So get Doucouré and Alan higher up the pitch, and hopefully Gbamon can sort of settle into things a lot quicker than we probably expect him to, considering the fact that he hasn't played much football in England and has had a massive injury. But if he can do that, I think that's the way the team should be looking going forward.
Terry, I'll ask you the same thing. Are you looking forward to seeing him, or do you think Alan and Doucouré, that's the midfield two we need to stick with and create something with now?
No, I think a midfield three with Gbamon would be ideal. If it's not guaranteed, you know, because he could easily come back and, you know, injuries, you know, hamper him again. Like, you know, he's been out for so long, you can't expect him to come and act like he's never, you know, he's never been away. It's going to be a long process. And we obviously don't even know if he's any good yet. Like, for this league, he looked all right in Germany from what, you know, people've seen. But no, I think that would be, that it's Gbamon or someone new in the summer maybe or whatever. Like, a midfield three that's energetic and industrious and doesn't necessarily need to be very creative. It just needs to facilitate the rest of the team. If they can allow the front three to stay high up the pitch and allow the full-backs to bomb on, knowing they've got cover, then that would be ideal. I don't think, you know, a 4-3-3 particularly needs a super creative number 10 type player if you've got the front three and the wing-backs to, you know, create for you. You know, it's like a thing to say, but it's how Liverpool play. Long term, yeah, I think Gbamon would be the ideal choice, you know, on paper. Short term, I still think it should be a three. I don't know whose turn it is to go alongside Doucouré and Alan this week, you know. You are.
Short term for the Chelsea game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm in the Chelsea game. So it's Sigurdsson, forget it. Gomez played well a year ago, forget it.
Davis is that, you know, there as well. A lot of people have been making arguments for Tom Davis.
You know, I think Tom Davis is seeing the game out, but I don't like Tom Davis starting the game. I think he's someone good to break the play down. But,
I think he did well a couple of weeks ago against Fulham when he came on and we saw the game out and he held onto the ball a bit. But starting it, he's definitely not in our best options, I don't think.
Can't rely on Delph that he gets injured. No. He's crap even when he's not injured. So the only one we haven't really tried in the middle three is Iwobi. Now, I've said no to that before because I think Iwobi loses the ball quite a lot, which is, you know, if you're an attacking player, that's going to happen. But, you know, if you're doing it in the middle three, then it's a bit more dangerous. But it could be worth a look because I certainly, you know, I certainly think he'd do a better job than certainly Sigurdsson or Delph. Like, obviously, Davies has had good games and Gomez wasn't bad at times. And I don't know. Like, there's no overwhelming candidate, is there? The fact that we're banking on a player coming back from a year out injury, think to solve everything, shows how poor the other options are. It should be. Oh, Gabama will have to wait ages to get in now because of the players have locked the position down, but we can't wait for them to get back. Mm-hmm. A player we've not even...
Do you know what the ironic thing probably is? Is that in and amongst this, with the way Alan and Decore are playing at the moment, the thing that would have probably have solved it the most is Morgan Schneiderlin.
Up in Gabamon is though, aren't we? Like, what a better version, like a number six who sits and the other two can then get more involved and not be shackled as much.
Schneiderlin that can be asked.
I don't know. Yeah. A Schneiderlin that can be asked is one of our best midfielders we've had. And unfortunately, most of the time, he couldn't. Teddy, you mentioned the Iwobi there in the midfield three. He's played everywhere else. Do you think, maybe Owen, do you think we should give him a go?
I feel sorry for him, to be honest, because I think he'll be playing centre-half next week. He becomes the scapegoat, but he hasn't been given a proper position in about two years here. Ridiculous. I would play him in the midfield and I'd keep him there because I think that's where he'll get the most joy.
Yeah.
Sort of pulling the strings and that. But
I think what he runs on is confidence, because he had it at right wing back against Fulham and he had arguably his best game for us. He was taking the ball, he was running past people. And I think that's what he's good at. He's good at running at people when the crowd get behind him, there's not going to be any, but when we're playing well and stuff, he is a good option, I think. I think, and as you said, I feel sorry for him as well. He hasn't had a proper position, but he's got a good attitude. And if we're going to go for a midfield three, I wouldn't put it past Carlo trying him, because I don't think he's going to try him at left wing back and not try him in centre midfield. I don't think that'd make much sense.
No.
Yeah, I think it would be a good option. We're banking on Alan having a good game as well, like he did last week. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough. And Owen, you know a lot more about them than we do. There's a chance Nick Pope couldn't be back as well. I think he's got a head injury or something like that. I think it was
Peacock Farrell.
Yeah, Peacock Farrell started last week for his debut against City, and as probably one of the worst.
I'll be starting again this week.
Yes, I think a lot of people will do that. There will be a couple of eyes on the Burnley team when it comes out on Twitter. There'll be a bit of a meltdown when they see Chris Wood up front, and but yeah, I think we'll leave it there. I think we've spoken enough about it. Hopefully. We can only hope for an Everton win. We've got to stay positive, haven't we? We've got to hope that it's similar to Fulham, the result. Hopefully the performance is a bit better than that. But yeah, that's going to be it.
Right, so we bring an end to the proceedings as ever on the podcast with the Toffee Blues quiz. A slight change of pace this time, as I'm going to be the quiz master rather than the quiz winner, which is what I've been a lot in recent times. So John stepped in to sort of even the
odds.
I've went and joined a quiz Super League now because I wasn't getting the money that I thought I could get. So, this week's Toffee Blues quiz, if we could just have the intense quiz music, please. There it is, it's very intense. The match in question, it is once again going to be a starting 11 quiz. And the match in question, in keeping with the upcoming match of this weekend, is a match against Burnley from 2014. Burnley 1, Everton 3. And I'm going to flip a coin to see who will go first. So I could just find a coin. I actually don't have a coin, so what I'm going to do...
We can just ask Stephen. Do you want to go first or second, Stephen? Because you've just been on an embarrassing loss, so I think it's only fair to ask you preference for this one.
Well, I actually do have a... if you'd like to me to flip the coin, but it's up to you, Stephen.
I think I'd rather pick, and I'll explain why, is because I know one definite 100% player who played in the game, and I don't want to go out on the first question, so I'll go first if it's all right, Teddy.
Absolutely, you fire away. So, name the 11. Let me have a look. 11 starters, and of course, two substitutes that were used in the game.
So, this is the 2014-15 game, yeah? That's easy.
Yes, 2014-15, Sunday, 26th of October, 2014.
Okay, I'm going to go for the first player. It's going to be Samuel Eto'o.
Samuel Eto'o did in fact start the game, scored two of the three Everton goals, and was possibly his best performance in an Everton shirt this day.
One of his
only had a pot three to choose from.
Yeah.
I was about to say Jason Shackle, but I realised we're not picking the Burnley team there.
This is really funny, this, because we've just been joking off camera about how it would be easier for Owen if he did do the Burnley team.
We could name Scotty Arfield, we could have Ashley Barnes,
Tommy
would have been the goalie. Right back would have been Stephen Reid, maybe, for the Cypria, sorry. I'm gonna go for Romelu Lukaku, nevertheless.
Romelu Lukaku did start the game, scored the other of Everton's three goals, and just for a little bit of a side information, every Burnley player that you mentioned was also playing that day, so you've got all that right.
I've got about 8, I'm 8-0 up here, come on.
Okay, 2014, I'll go for, and I hope he was having like a spell where he was in the team and not out of it, I'll go for Tim Howard.
Tim Howard did start a goal for Everton.
I was a bit worried that he'd be dropped a goal, but I think that was a bit early for that sort of spell.
Yeah. No, he
didn't.
On the bench with Joe
Robles. I'm going to change my tactic, and this is where I'd normally go for a fullback. But no fullback has ever fit whatever I say. So I'm going to change my approach and hope that John Stones started or at least was involved in the game. John Stones is my final answer.
John Stones did not start the game. Didn't start, didn't come off the bench.
Unlucky, Owen.
Was not on the bench.
Naming the Burnley team.
Yeah, for naming Jason Shackle, I think he deserves something.
Stephen is it.
Was it Distan and Jaggy Elker, or did Alcaraz play?
Well, we're going to carry on guessing, aren't we, to get the team right.
Ross Wallace.
But you are.
Ross Wallace.
You are, in fact, the winner, Stephen. So before we name your song, we'll carry on for the rest of the team, but you've broke your duck now.
I'm very happy about that, to be fair. It's a really good, it's one of my more memorable Everton matches, thankfully. I can remember where I was watching it. I remember the score, I remember quite a lot about it. Remember we wore that strange white and purple kit and everything.
It was a lovely kit.
Yeah, it makes up for that, that curveball I was through last week in the Leeds one. Okay, is it my turn to name a player?
Oh no, Owen goes now. Obviously you've won, but we're going to try and get the team. So we've got no to Stones.
Sylvain Distan then, sure, surely.
Also no.
Really? No way.
No Stones, no Distan.
Wow. Okay, Gareth Barry.
Gareth Barry did play the game, did start.
Okay. Well, he was going to be the other one before that. Marvin Sutton. No.
Marvin.
Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley was on the bench but did not feature in the game.
Oh, Marvin is probably
named
the muddy.
At this point, you actually have named more Burnley players than Everton. Correctly.
All right. James McCarthy.
James McCarthy did play, of course, alongside Stephen Naismith. Stephen Naismith also started.
Seamus
Coleman did start.
Oh, he plays this one, but any time I name him, he's always injured. I would go then. If Coleman was played, Leighton Baines.
Yeah, he's got it.
Leighton Baines did play the other fullback.
Now it doesn't matter.
We've got three starters left and
two bench.
I need to apologise. Whoever said Barkley, he did come off the bench, but I'm glad I made that after the game was already won. Barkley did come off the bench. My mistake. There's been people listening to this going, Barkley did play that.
Quizmaster does know the answer to his own questions.
I know, but you. I've actually got it in front of me and still got it wrong.
Okay. Three left.
Yes, three starters and one sub, so four.
Phil Jagielka.
Phil Jagielka did play at centre back, correct?
I can only say Antonin Alcaraz.
Antonin Alcaraz did start. He was the other centre back.
I can't believe he played.
Danny Ings was a murderer that day then.
It was probably we were in the Europa League and we probably just played on the Thursday and someone probably got an injury.
Was it Ings and Vokes or Burnley, Terry?
Ings and Jukebox, who used to play for us.
Lukas Jukovic.
That's it. I can never say his name. I mean, Ashley Barnes came on for him.
Kevin Morales.
Nope, no Kevin Morales. No. Wasn't even on the bench. There's one more starter. So far, you've had Howard, Coleman, Alcaraz, Jagielka, Baines, McCarthy, Barry, Naismith, Eto, and Lukaku started. So you've got one more.
Aidan McGeady.
Aidan McGeady was on the bench but did not play.
So there's one more.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it must be like a winger or something. Was it Aaron Lennon?
It was not Aaron Lennon.
I hadn't joined at that point. Stephen Pienaar.
Stephen Pienaar is the player who came off the bench. It's the other starter you haven't got, so Stephen Pienaar did come off the bench. Not even an obscure name. You'll kick yourself and you go.
So there's one wing. It must be a winger because you just named the team and there's one missing.
I've got it.
Go on.
Leon Osman.
Leon Osman, correct.
Right, okay.
The narrowest team in history.
Yeah. By the look of it, there was literally no... I mean, the fullbacks in their prime were quite good for the width, I suppose, but...
We're lucky Eto had a good game there because that team is abysmal.
They had Lukas Jukovic up front, so that's why.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Just for Owen, the Burnley team was Tom Heaton, Trippier, Duff, Shackle, Ward, Boyd, Arfield, Jones, Keitley.
Jones, yeah.
And Jukebox and Ings.
Jukebox.
They had Barnes, Sordell and Chalobah come off the bench.
Nathaniel Chalobah wouldn't have got them.
No, I wouldn't have got Nathaniel Chalobah. I wouldn't have got Kieran Trippier, to be fair. I always forget he played for them.
Yeah, he's a Dyche disciple if you read The Athletic article.
Just like you.
Yeah, me and Kieran Trippier in the same sentence.
Goes to the same meetings and the same after dinners.
We're in the same Facebook group, mate.
Right, well, that is the quiz. Stephen, congratulations on your first victory. You get to choose the song to see us out at the end of the podcast. And if you could just give us a little couple of words of explanation so we can use it as why you've picked that particular song.
We just want the song, not your Spotify 2020 rap, because no one's asked.
I've had to think about it today. I'm struggling to decide. I'm going through just my most played songs. I'm going to go for Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
Oh, what a song.
Yeah, I've recently just watched The Dirt, the movie on Netflix, and it's been in the ad for quite a few days now, so that's going to be my song.
I can't even remember if I've picked that before. I have a spell, and I'd say I'm used to, I'm still sort of doing it, when I only picked like rock songs and various types of like radio rock and metal songs, just because I used to lose quite a lot to Max, and he'd always pick like Swedish House Mafia or Oasis, so I tried to like mix it up a bit whenever I did win. But yeah, great choice, big fan of that. It's almost like I won again.
I must, on the subject of music, I must bring up a tweet I saw before saying, Sean Dyche's 2020 wrapped on Spotify is the last post.
It's the what?
The last post.
You know, the army.
He definitely listens to like the damn bus theme in the shower as well. You
know? Oh, well, it got me for a few hours. Yeah.
Right, well, that's the end of the show for this week. Thank you very much for everyone who's listened through to the end, because if you do, you're an absolute better player, I've got to tell you. But yeah, thanks very much again, and we'll see you all next week, and thank you all for listening to the Toffee Blues.